The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. My topic is, let me run the race of life. Let me run the race of life. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Shall we read in concert? Go. 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 Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I have done this message before in this church this year, and I'm doing it again. Let me run the race of life. If you look at your Bible very well, there is something you're going to see. That thing you're going to see is the last sentence, the race marked out for us. And I'm going to read the scripture again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race marked out for us. The first thing I want to tell us, my brothers and my sisters, this beautiful morning is this. There are three races before you. Is it races or race? The one marked out for you by the devil, the one marked out for you by God, and the one marked out for you by your friends or yourself. Three. There is, in front of everyone, there are three roads. One by God, one by devil, one by yourself or man-made. The one marked out for you by God is called divine destiny race. The one marked out for you by the devil is satanic or demonic race. And the third one marked out for yourself is human race. I'm saying this because of what I want to say. What I was trying to say, why did I say this? This race has to do with the destiny God has called you to fulfill. This thing I said, that there are, I just said it simply, look as if it is a road that just go on it and start driving. No, it's a destiny that has been set for you to fulfill. I am so sure, when I read Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4 to 5, he said, the word of the Lord came to me and saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as prophets to the nations. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Now, before your parents, your dad ever thought about marrying your mom. Even while your parents were blood in their own parents' womb, God already knew you. You were not existing anywhere. Nobody knew you. You were not even blood and sperm. God knew you. At the point where he knew you, he had mapped out a divine plan, a divine destiny, a divine road for you to follow. The person that did not know you is the devil and your friends or yourself. Now he said, because I knew you before you were born, I set you apart. Friends, listen to me. The modern society has been divided into 8 spheres of influence. Some of you have been set out for culture and entertainment. Some of you have been set out for sports. Some of you have been set out for government and politics. Some of you have been set out for business and economy. And some of you have been set out as pastors, evangelists, prophets, and all that. Who set it out? The person that knew you before you were born. There is something God has set you out to do, consecrated you for. He said, I appointed you as prophet to the nations. When you say prophet, it connotes, many of us think that the prophet is a person that has that hair, and the hair gets to the ground, and then he wears a long robe and goes about with a bell in his hands, disturbing everybody. And when you say pastor, a lot of us feel that pastor is the person that wears a Roman collar with a black shirt and puts on a suit, or the person that puts on a suit and a tie and goes to say to people, give your life to Jesus. In the context of that, even when they tell you you're going to be a pastor, many of you say, I reject it in Jesus' name. It is not my portion. The question is, whose portion is it? Listen to me. I set you out and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Nations means ethnos. That is a group of people. I am set out as a prophet unto the nation called Fem Foundation. Festus, my brother here, is set out unto a nation called Business and Economy. He's a prophet and a pastor to that nation. Dr. Amuche here is set out to a nation called Medicine. She is a prophet and a pastor in that nation. Listen to me. I cannot win medical doctors effectively, because when I talk, they may feel that I do not understand the pressure and the difficulties and the challenges of their profession. That's why I am telling them to go to church. But if I can bring a medical doctor who goes through the same pressure, who has been through what they have been through, won the t-shirt, and tells them this thing is possible, it is easier for that doctor to win them. Therefore, I put it to you that everybody here is a pastor, is an evangelist, is a prophet, is an apostle, you are apostles to nations. For instance, these my sons, wherever they are musicians, they go from state to state, they go from place to place singing. They are pastors and prophets to all those places they go. Ladies and gentlemen, mark my word. You are an ambassador and a witness of Christ to the nation you are sent to. An ambassador is somebody who is sent to represent a kingdom. A witness is somebody who says, I have the experience, I have come to share the experience with you. If you put it in that light, these people whom I call musicians, they may not know that they are pastors. And somebody invites them for a wedding ceremony. Come and play for us. And maybe in that wedding ceremony there may be about 2,000 people. And maybe out of the 2,000, the 50 out of the 2,000 may be cream de la cream of the society. Maybe the wealthiest people in the society. And then these apostles and ambassadors and pastors, when they go to that place where they are supposed to represent the kingdom of God in that place, they come. Yahoo. They are representing the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, they become pastors of Lucifer. Now, whether you like it or not is the truth. The rest of us that go to school, or whatever you are a businessman, you are a pastor. Please, you see this, and I'm telling you, on the last day, God will hold you to it. And if you want to defraud God and say, I never heard of it, that becomes your business. Mr. Obo is a pastor to the banking industry. His job is to represent the kingdom of Christ in the banking industry. When he goes to the banking industry and starts doing what Christ would not do, he becomes a pastor of the kingdom of darkness. Friends, listen. Nature hates vacuum. It's either you're serving God, serving the devil, or serving yourself. If you say, I'm not here, I'm not there, I don't want to be a serious Christian, I just want to be a secular Christian, I just go to church on Sunday and go my way, you are deceiving yourself. Nature hates vacuum. If you are not serving God, you are serving something. 3 days in front of you, before I formed in the belly, I knew you. Not only did I appointed you as a prophet, a pastor to a group of people. If you have a boutique here, you sell, you're a pastor to your customers. Now, if you sell clothes that lead people to hell, you become a pastor of the kingdom of darkness. The job of a pastor is to take people to his organ. So if you, whatever you are doing, if you are sending people to hell, the number of people you send to hell, on the last day, they will put them by your side and ask you to account for their soul. So I won't come to this church again. That's okay, he's always preaching doom. Therefore, God has a particular race He has set before you. Just like God expects you to run your race, the devil also expects you to run his race. And there are people around you who also expect you to run your race. Have you heard when we say, there are some things we say, that person died in the hands of witches and wizards. What just simply happened was, the person just fulfilled the demands of witches and wizards. You hear things like, that they put juju in the person's food, the person died. Each time your life makes the devil prosper in his enterprise, it just simply means that the person has fulfilled the demands of the kingdom of darkness. And for me not to fulfill the kingdom of darkness, what should I do? Follow God's plan for your life. Notice, maybe I'm supposed to be a pastor of a church. And my friends tell me, what do you want to be a pastor for? Pastors are this, that. And then you have this prototype of pastors, how pastors, everything. By the time you're done, your friends carve out another life for you. Many of us are under pressure. You know what's putting you under pressure? You are trying to live up to a certain reputation so that you can favor some people. Do you know why so many of us are not very serious with God? If you get serious with God, you will get into some people's bad books. Those people may even be your friends, whom all of you gather together to do some things that you know that does not glorify God. The Bible says, whatever you do in words and in deeds, let it be done to the glory of God. If there are people who you hang out with, and you people do things that don't glorify God, and then you're making a quality decision that you're not going to argue about, you're not going to retreat from, to live, follow God's plan for your life. As you make that decision, you are going to fall out of favor with some people. I hope you know. Some people will start speaking ill of you. Some people will start, they will say some things about you. The end of the day, you may retreat from your decision and said, I don't want to make this decision again. But let me ask you a question. Whose life will you live? The life and the dream God designed for you, or that one which your friends designed for you? You know, as I'm preaching this message, some of you, it touched you somewhere, but something in your mind say, bored, forget, you know me. You are being convicted, but you're trying to run away from your conscience. Do you know something about God? I'm not really preaching to you, I'm just trying to talk to you. Do you know something about God? If you make up your mind to follow God's plan for your life, of course, when you fall out of favor with some people, just like Joseph fell out of favor from Potiphar's wife, you know what he's going to do? He will organize and rearrange another set of people that will find favor. You will find favor with. The problem is that you are trying to be your own God. The problem is that you don't trust God enough to take care of you. You feel that he will not be able to do it on time, or he may not do it adequately. So you're trying to help yourself. You're trying to do for yourself what God is supposed to do for you. You're trying to find helpers for yourself. It's not going to work. The one that created you, that said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I consecrated, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. That same person, you know what he said? He didn't count your hair, he numbered them. To number means every strand of hair on your hair has a number. So when you are combing and one falls off, he knows whether it's number 42 or number 41 or number 43 that fell off. If he can number your hair, he can take care of your cells, of your blood, of your tissue, of your time, of your talent, of your treasure. He is able to do it. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a bird while it was flying and it fell and it couldn't get up? And it was just fell like that. Since I was young, now I am still young, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. Listen to me. Even when you fall to the ground, before your back touches touches the floor, this person that numbered your hair, he will pick you up. If he cares for the sparrow, he will care for you. If you cares for the flowers, for the roses, for the sun, for the he, listen to me. There are sometimes you go to the goat, you go around the street, you see goat, you see sheep, there is nobody taking care of them. You see mad people, they even eat from the gutter and nothing happens to them. Let me ask you a question. A man of destiny, God will take care of him. The day you start following his plans for your life, he will start taking care of you. Number two. Do you still love me? Are you sure? How can I successfully run my race and finish it? Is a question. If it was an evening service, I would have thrown it open. If you're just coming, we're reading Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1. Verse 1, it said, you are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Great cloud of witnesses simply means you are being watched. How many of you here are believers? Let me see your hand. Okay. Whether you told people or not, they know you go to church, they are watching you. If you also serve Olokun, they know you served Olokun, they are also watching you. Anything you serve, there are people by the side who are watching you. You are being watched. And if you are being watched, you better be careful how you live your life. Because your life could either inspire somebody or demotivate somebody. For everybody under the sound of my voice, whether you like it or not, you are a role model to somebody. If you model negatively, the people who are watching up to you, that generation is destroyed. If you model positively, the people who are watching you, the generation will be secured. A young man told me, while he was an unbeliever, he went and joined a cult. And he made so much noise, he became so popular in the cult, that everybody in the state knew him. When his younger brother entered school, they wanted his younger brother to join cult. They told him, your elder brother was a barber in this place. You should join so that you will beat your elder brother's record. How can you be here and not beat your elder brother's record? Listen to me. Your younger ones are watching you. There are people who meet you on the street. They see you. They say, we like this person. They are watching you. It is in your hands to secure the next generation or to destroy it. We are talking about planting trees in our country now. They say plant trees because soon there won't be trees anymore. And we need trees to survive. The oxygen, the flowers. Why do we have flowers in church? So that when they bring out their waste product, we can take it in. Listen to me. The waste product you are giving out, if you are not careful, the generation that is coming after you will take your waste product and take it in and use it to destroy the next generation. Watch out. There are also saints in heaven. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, all those people that were mentioned there, they are also watching you. Please listen to me. They are not watching to see how you are, how much money you are gathering. That's not what they are watching. Abraham, Isaac, some of your brothers and sisters who have gone to be with the Lord and they are born again, they are watching you. They are not watching how you go to work. They are not watching how much money you are making. They are not watching how many clothes. They are not watching how powerful you have become. How connected you have become. That's not what they are watching out for. They are not watching out for how many millions you used in conducting your daughter's wedding. Or how many millions you're going to use for your wedding. They are not even watching to see how much your wedding gown was. Now they are watching to see whether you will bring your wedding cake from the UK. They are not watching to see whether your wedding card, they can use it to shop in Harrods. They are not watching. That's not their business. They are simply watching to see how you are following God's plans for your life. Wow. They are not watching to see how much food, how many menu we are prepared on your wedding day. It's not their business. They are not watching to see how much the shoe you wore on your legs. Listen, all these things, they are not watching it. What are they watching? Is this person, if your father is no longer alive and he's with the Lord. He's watching. This, my son, will you follow God's plan for your life? If you watch Olympics or you watch sports, those of you that love sports, when they are playing football, you are at the sidelines cheering them up, telling them, go ahead, do it well, or you are shouting on them, why are you doing it, Liz? Why are you doing like that? Within the race God has set for you, if you are playing well, the saints in heaven, they'll be cheering you up. But if you are playing badly, they will say, what is wrong with this person? How can you abandon the race of God and start running the race of the devil? You will not run the demonic race. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you following God's plan to your life? Our society, we have become so filled with garbage. I want to show you a presentation. Something that many of you love, and we are dying and killing ourselves to become this. My message finishes on the slide. You don't hammer. Get there your side. Now everything where you they live for motto. Just motto, nothing more. You spread the motto in your compound. Drinks. This is what we have reduced our life to. Our style to it. To the nonsense, you add style to it.
Everybody,
enough for fizzy.
Take them easy.
It's all about the Benjamins. This is what we have reduced our lives to. Church, is this God's plan for our lives? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Homer will follow. Name it. But you know what we are doing? We are seeking for Homer. Homer. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You buy all the cars. You scatter them in your compound. Has life, is that all there is to life? Church, I'm not condemning you having good cars, but I'm condemning how we go about having good cars. We live in a society, we live in a place where a young man wants to do wedding. It's about 5 million for a wedding. And at the end of the wedding, what happens? On 14th is Valentine's Day. Some of us have started saving since January 1st. So that you can create a strong brand in the heart of the person. Then the person will take the gift or the wristwatch and show everybody what you have done. The question I'm asking you, is that God's plans for our lives? Why were we born? What am I living for? What am I living for? Only 5 things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Please look at me. I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend. The first one, love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love. Love means worship. And I went to our 100 level manual. Worship can be expressed in singing. That's where many of us are. When you come to church, you sing, you go home. Number 2, worship can be expressed in commitment. Commitment to what? Commitment to God. How many of us will hire a babysitter to take care of your kids so that you can spend time and seek God's face? How many of us will say, the whole house is very noisy. You enter a wardrobe, close the door just to seek his face. What is commitment? Committed to fellowship with the brethren. Do you know that your church family prevents you from backsliding? Your church family helps you develop spiritual muscles. The Bible tells you that you should submit yourself under a spiritual counsel and authority. The job of your pastor, like I always will say, is to provide guidance. Now I'm talking about following God's plans for your life. Why am I saying that? Because I'm not interested in what is in your pocket. I am interested in how you end up. Life does not start today and finish today. There is, if Jesus does not come today, in the next 5 years, we're still going to be here. In the next 10 years, we're all still going to be here. The life you're supposed to be living when you are 52. If you start it now, when you get to 52, what will you live? Do I still have friends? Commitment to being discipled. Beloved, do you know that one of the purposes God has for your life is for you to become like Christ? And for you to become like Christ, He provided the church as a school to give you the training, the tools with which you can accomplish that faith. Do you know that commitment also borders around using your talents, using your treasure, using your time to serve God? That's service ministry. Commitment. Committed to mission work. I was reading newspaper. A woman stood up and told herself, what I want to do now is to provide protection and provision for street children against abuse and all forms of exploitation. I don't know whether she goes to church, but that thing she is doing, it is the assignment that God gave to the church to do. It is called mission work. Many of us have turned ourselves into mission field. You go around everywhere looking for how to solve your problem. Do you know that the Bible says, he that waters shall be watered. If you are dry, find water and water somebody. The God of heaven will water you. That's the principle. That's how we live. But we go about looking for how to water us. Look at what Red Cross is doing. That is what the church together we are supposed to do. I read something on the newspaper. This is Saturday. Son, I want to read it to the church. Lessons to the church from the mosque. Lessons to the church. History has demonstrated that the development of nations is often triggered by the disciplined actions of a handful rather than a mob action. Disciplined action of a few rather than a mob action. One of the most important lessons of effective religious leadership in Nigerian history can be called from the life of Usman Danfodio. His unwavering focus and principled dealings were demonstrated in 1789 when King Boajon Kwazo decided to confer national honors on the preacher during the celebration of this Muslim celebration. The prestigious award was to be accompanied with mouth-watering gifts that could have awed a lesser man, but Usman Danfodio declined both the award and its gifts in a most gracious manner. The principled cleric knew that the award did not line up with the ideals for which he stood. Instead, he made a demand for 5 concessions from the Hausa king. The first demand was for a reduction in taxes. The second was for the release of prisoners. And the third demand was for liberty to preach his version of Islam unhindered. Respect for the turban and hijab were the fourth and fifth demands. In his diplomatic refusal of the honors, Usman Danfodio had demonstrated his solidarity with the overtaxed masses, the oppressed majority, and the importance of his mission. 200 years plus after, the fact remains that we can see that his gambit paid off. No doubt, his name would have long been forgotten had his ego superseded his mission. Now, most of the northern Nigeria bears the testimony of his success. Later on, we see the same principle of religious leadership in the career of Gumu, who spawned Western education to pursue his Islamic ideas in an age when Western scholarship was a free ticket to wealth and fame. It is on record that Gumi challenged the Nigerian Emirate on the issue of British Empire Award. Bajero. Bajero was the last emir to receive the CMG in 1947 by 1949, the emirs rejected the KCMB and the CMG because Gwamu contended that awards of the Order of St. George was not congruent with Islamic ideas and awardees would be pliable to the British crown and interests of the Anglican Communion. Many of us still do not agree with him, his approach to religious issues, but we are compelled to admire his commitment to his convictions. Ordinary citizens tend to be influenced towards a cause when men of religious persuasion spout earthly accolades. Interestingly, the Christian faith also offers parallel principles where earthly recognition is concerned. When paroded by the Corinthian church, Apostle Paul recounted all his infirmities, travails, challenges as the glory of his career. Jesus Christ instructed the church to set the standard for truth and integrity and warned against a reversal of roles. The early Christian missionaries made great sacrifices and contributed greatly to the moral and social development of Nigeria. Through their efforts, the killing of twins, human sacrifices, and other horrible practices were terminated. They built schools and hospitals on shoestrings budget, and laid foundation of modern education, scientific advancement, and social progress in Nigeria. Very few, if any at all, of those white missionaries ever received any award in their lifetime, and the modern generation of Christian leadership have made no move to give posthumous award in their direction. The baton of leadership was passed on to the like of Bishop Ajayi Crowder, whose stature remains formidable today. This first African bishop bought a ship, wrote dictionaries, translated local languages, and built schools across the length and breadth of Nigeria. He braved death threats from imperialists, fetish sovereigns, and beasted kidnappers to spread the light. Crowder was an ex-slave with a heart of gold, whose work in the Niger Delta in the Toban-Godi area is yet to be equaled. For all his effort, he received little by way of awards, save a few schools named in his memory. When the contribution of the present Christians is weighed against the investment of past Christians, it is a dismal report. Even though Nigeria boasts more churches per street than Dubai in its total area, we still see a nation ranked one of the most corrupt in the world, with the highest infant and maternal mortality rates. With such a boom in religious profession, we would expect darkness to recede, but Nigeria seems to have patented a new type of light that shines to accommodate darkness. Church, if we start following God's plans for our lives, this person will not, the person that wrote this is a Christian, is an NGO that wrote it. Many of us are following Olu Maintain's plan for our lives. And if I check your goal for this year, you will be shocked whose plan you're following. I have not come to make you sad. I have come to set your priorities right. The first thing you came to this world to do is to worship God. Don't ever forget it. The second thing you came to this world to do is to be discipled to look like Jesus. The third thing you came to this world to do is to serve God and other people with your talents, your treasure, and your time. The fourth thing you came to this world to do is to share the word of God. The fifth thing you came to this world to do is to have fellowship with other believers. That's God's purpose. That's the plan he wants you to follow. And when you become a businessman and you know that this business, I am using it to empower the kingdom of God on the streets, the light outside, our faith will shine on our streets. When I look at the people who don't go to church and what they do with the empowerment that God has given to them for the purpose of the kingdom of darkness, I ask myself, when will we raise ambassadors from the body of Christ who will stand up for the principles of Christ? That's our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Until we rise up to follow God's plans for our lives. In the early church, they said, is there anyone sick? In other words, sickness was not a normal thing. When they see sick people, they are surprised in their church. poverty was not a normal thing. Why? When you follow God's plan, every other thing will fall into place. And for you to successfully run this race and finish your course, follow God's plans for your life. God's plan for your life is this Christian race, is this believer's race we are running. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. It's time for us to make adjustments in our lives and our behaviors so that we will become the Bible that people read. My son, attend to my word means, my son, make my word your priority. How many of us leave our houses every morning without reading the Bible? Leave our houses every morning without saying, spending time with your Creator. Make the word of God top priority. Many of us, we have written our own versions of the Bible. The one that God wrote is not enough. There are so many other versions written by people who are in the church. The word of God is no longer priority. It is the word of Jerry Springer. It is the word of Oprah Winfrey. They are the ones that determine the norms by which we live our lives. The word of God does not conduct how we dress anymore. It is the celebrities who go for red carpets, who go for award, that determine how we dress. The word of God does not control how we talk anymore. It is what the rap artists rap. That's where we get what they do in rap songs. That's where we get our daily songs, our daily talks. A slang entered Nigeria. Nothing did happen. And that slang was not properly fixed. Nothing that happened means your life is passive. Your life is in an idle mood. Nothing mega. Why don't we zero it? It's either nothing bad they happen or not something good is happening. Look at how that thing has entered our mouth. So even when you come to church, they tell you something is about to happen. You go around the street saying nothing mega, nothing happen, nothing there, not shaking, nothing they happen. Lift your hands. Say from today, God has the final say. Shout it very loud. I remember when I was a younger preacher, we came to church and I preached a sermon that was too hot. Then we had some elders in our fellowship. All of them were older than us by 40 years, 30 years, 50 years. At the end of the meeting, they were looking for us to kill. Why did they want to kill us? Unconsciously, we were preaching the things they were doing and we didn't know. They called us and told us, whenever you want to preach, edit this script, edit this one, edit this one, preach this one. And you see, somebody can leave this service this morning, walk into the street and say, don't mind Pastor K. They have come to tell Pastor K what I do. That's why she came to preach it. Now let me ask you a question. If I preach something that you do and you know that you do it, and this is the word of God that I'm preaching, who will make the adjustments, God or you? I leave that for my openness to answer. My mentor, while he was alive, was invited to come preach to a church. And the pastor of the church told him, please, sir, when you're preaching this sermon today, don't ever preach against polygamy. He said, why? He said, the people that give me money, they sit in front and many of them are polygamists. Please, I beg you, preach anything. Don't preach against polygamy. Preach anything. Don't preach against fraud. Because the people that give me money, they are fraudsters. My mentor said, okay, I will do it. The moment he took the microphone, he said, polygamy is not of God. The pastor wanted to come and take the microphone from his hand. Church, it is time we decide whose word is it, your word or his word. Who wrote it? You wrote it or he wrote it? You know, a lot of times we use logic to qualify the Bible. It's after all, they were written by ordinary men like us. Ladies and gentlemen, God calls it his word, and he inspired those people by his spirit to write those things. If you do not want to follow his word, get out of the church, go to the mosque and follow the word of Muhammad. Or still, if you don't want to follow his word, go and start your own church and be the God and write your Bible so that your followers will follow your dictations. Ha! Listen to me, friends. Those of us who are mature in the faith cannot always carry you on our shoulders. I wrote something. We won't be able to carry other people on our faith indefinitely because God expects each of us to grow in our faith. Everyone under the sound of my voice, God expects you to start growing. He expects you. The Bible says we should fight the fight of faith. God expects you to start doing your own fight. In the first service while Papa was preaching, when you see sickness in your body, God expects you, as somebody who has been in the faith, to combat the sickness. I'm not saying don't go to the hospital, but beyond the hospital, you can use your faith to destroy sickness and disease. But you must have been training your faith for that kind of battle before it happens. As I zero off today's meeting, do I still have friends here? As I zero off today's meeting, if you want to really fulfill God's plan for your life so that heaven will rejoice, I want to show you how to run your race. This is where I will tie it up from here, and then I'm going to pick it up from here next Sunday. If you really, you are interested in fulfilling, see, I'm tired. I'm actually tired of running other people's, the race other people set for me. I'm tired. I'm tired because when a man sets a standard, the standard is never the same. Today the standard is here, the next day the standard is here, the next day the standard is here, the next day the standard is here. I want to run his race. I want to fulfill the destiny that my Creator carved out for me. God wants you to be a pastor. Your father wants you to be a lawyer. And he doesn't just want you to combine the two. He just, because I'm a lawyer, my grandfather was a lawyer, this person was a lawyer, so you have to be a lawyer. That is wrong, living another person's life. How do I fulfill, run this race, follow God's direction? I don't have friends today. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, he said, lay aside the weight. If you want to run God's race, you don't want to run demonic race, you don't want to run race that other people set for you. In this church, we hate manipulating, we won't manipulate you. Nobody will follow you to keep malice because you didn't do something we asked you to do. No, nobody will. If it's against the church doctrine, we're going to call you and tell you, listen. And if you refuse to listen to us, we follow what the Bible said. And then if you, before we ostracize. But we're not going to tell you, we told you to marry Obi and you refuse. We are on suspension. That's manipulating people. We don't do that. Lay aside the weight. What is weight? Remove excess luggage. Did you see, they were playing tennis ball over the weekend. Did you see Serena Williams carrying big bag? Imagine carrying the bag that you're using to travel overseas, 20 kilograms, and then you're holding it in one hand and you're using one hand to play tennis. Or Kaka was playing football and he's carrying his wardrobe on top of his head and then he's playing football. Am I still your friends? Oh, you see, those of you who love Man U, imagine the 11 players, they come to the field of play. This one is carrying his house on his head. This one is carrying his car on his head. This one is carrying, each of them is carrying a treasure. And this treasure, all of them are equal to 10 bags of cement, the weight. And then they're holding it on the head, they're using it to play ball. If you want to fulfill his plan for your life, remove excess luggage. What is excess luggage? Wrong attitude, wrong behavior. That's excess luggage. Do you know, I've been doing a research. I want to see what makes God bless people. I discovered that the cardinal word is obedience. If thou should hearken unto the voice, if thou should diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and obey him, then he will tell you what he will do. Oh, everywhere he wrote that he will prosper you. The cardinal price to pay is the price of obedience. And what is faith? Faith is doing God's word. Sin in your life will hinder your fellowship with God. If there is sin in your life, when you enter the place of fellowship, you can't. And the worst thing that can happen to a man is for you to be cut off from God. Jesus said, cut off from me, you can do nothing. Sin in your life will dull your spirit. And you'll be less responsive to God. When God talks, you don't go here. In the first service, Papa said there is a difference between the voice of God and the word of God. Hey, you need the voice of God every morning. Listen, many of us, you know the reason why you don't hear from God. Mindset. You think that when God wants to talk to you, he will come and wear white bedsheet and then he will stand and be doing like this. Then there's going to be a mountain on fire. That's why you don't hear from God. God, when God wants to talk to you, he will talk to you like your father. I can't imagine my husband, he wants to talk to his sons, and then he puts on a white bedsheet, and then that's the way we think that God should talk to us. No, God talks to us normally. Festus, go to Ibadan. Very normally. Sometimes you may even think that it is your own voice talking. He's so normal. The Bible says a still small voice. But if there is sin in your life, you can't hear. Sin is expensive. Unchecked sin will cause you to live in the realm of the natural, and you live out of God's best for your life. When something has lingered in your life for a long time and you refuse to check it, my brothers and my sisters, the price is expensive. I have been checking my Bible. I have told myself that the most expensive bill on earth is sin. It is so expensive that God had to use the blood of Jesus to wipe the original sin. Listen to me, sin will make you not to buy home a Jeep. You can go out of God's will for your life to buy it all. The Bible said, I was envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Then I entered the temple, came out, and I saw their end. One of my sons was telling me a story, and I was shocked inside me. He said, while we were in court, we were big boys. We intimidated everybody in the school. They saw us as these are the pillars of the school. He said, but I have done a research on everybody that murdered, that killed. He said, one of them was coming from Abuja in a bus. The car had an accident. Before anything happened to anybody, the windscreen broke. He flew from the back of the bus out of the windscreen, entered the bush. That was the end of his life. He said, one of the biggest boys on the campus, he will obtain money from everybody. He was living large. Today he is mental, parading around the street. He said, the last time he saw me was begging for money. He said, when I was giving you 100, I said, is it this boy that is reduced to this? Friends, outside the will of God is sorrow, it is pain. Why would you want the devil to give it to you when God will give it to you? Abora to lay on you in a fair. Young lady, check whom you are serving. He said, Neighbor, one mommy water, are you a child of mermaid spirit? It is important that you know whom you are worshipping. Mami water boom was ya churunigwe. Ogano simini jewo alezeya. Baman kata choma on yogeno. Ibungwalo mami water gamnazu. It just simply says, mami water or mermaid spirit was one of the angels that were dropped from heaven. They dropped, they don't have a place. They went and got a basket looking for whom to swallow. He said, if you're a child of mammy water, get behind me. Then he said, O nyinye mammy water, O nememu obiabuo, O yiri woti si bia werisi. The gifts of the devil, if they do me two minds, it be like bring head, take head. They will give you something. You are enjoying the thing that time. When they give it to you, you are happy, you are excited. But after some time, when that thing supposed to sweet you pass, that's when they come to collect the thing. Lift your hand. Say, Father, help me. Say, Father. Shout it very loud. Say, Father. Shout it again. Say, Father. I need your help. I was saying, sin is expensive. It will make you not to build a house. Sin makes people to die early. I'm not saying it to scare you. I'm saying it so that I place it before you, then you make the choice by yourself. There are legitimate things you do. In themselves, they are not necessarily wrong. But they will make you not fulfill God's purpose for your life. Let's read the scripture. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. This service is not going to go the way our services used to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 8.
Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things come, and from whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So, this weak brother from whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23.
Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive.
Read on.
Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. But why should my freedom be judged by another man's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greek, or the Church of God.
Thank you. Femme Foundation, there are some things that legitimate things which may be good in themselves, but they are not what God has called you to do. If you keep doing them, you will get entangled. He says sins that easily entangle. Things, they may not necessarily be bad, but they will slow you down in your spiritual race, hinder you from growing spiritually and from fulfilling God's plan for your life. I said before you once more, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and everybody around you will live. Worshipping God is not just singing. It's not just commitment. Worshipping God is praying. Worshipping God is hearing the word. Worshipping God is giving. Worshipping God is baptism. Worshipping God is meditation. Worshipping God is Lord's Supper. But many of us are stuck in singing, praying, and hearing the word. 3 out of 8. My brothers and my sisters, as I end today, I tell you, the best way to become a very satisfied and contented person is to follow God's plan for your life. And if you want to stop doing things that will sabotage your destiny, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I must mention before I go, your flesh was not trained to lead your body, to lead your life. Your flesh does not have the equipment. It doesn't have the ability. It doesn't have the nature. Your mind was not trained to lead your life. Your spirit was given the ability, the nature, and the equipment to lead your life. So, don't ask for your flesh to die. You were crucified when Christ was crucified. Train your spirit to be able to do what it is made to do. Your body has been trained. Your body is well trained. Listen, your body does not have will of its own. Your body is just blood and water. If you want to stand up, you will to stand up, and then you push yourself up. Is that not what happens? You will not sit down and your body say, I want to stand, and then it stands by itself. Whatever thing that we're doing that is sabotaging our destiny, I'm preaching this message because this is our year of living beyond the extraordinary. I will do you disservice if I come here and say, God will bless you, Fem Foundation, when I know that is not true. There are some things we are doing that is making God not to bless us. The blessing has come, but it's hanging. We can't commit abortion. Abortion cannot be in our hands. We expect the blessing of God on the same hand. It doesn't happen. But if you start training your spirit will start ruling your body. And some of these things, you stop doing them.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.